I just want to share a few thoughts about remembering the cost. That's the title of our thought as we lead into communion. There are many different connotations about the word cost, but the helpful dictionary definition is as follows. An amount that has to be paid or spent to buy or obtain something. And let's look at the verse that I want to share a few thoughts from. It's from Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. It's up behind me here. And it says this, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. Let me just read that through again. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. This verse strongly reminds us that we are to take up our cross and follow him. There's a direct reference or parallel back to Matthew chapter 16 and verses 24 to 25 here, where Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. How, you might ask? Well, let's dig into that just a little bit more. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. So what does that mean? Firstly and simply, Christ has carried the cross for us. He's paid that cost. He's been crucified for our sins. And if we respond by faith, then our sins are forgiven. This made me think, as I was preparing, that there are two prices to be paid. Firstly, we need to deny ourselves. There's a price associated with that. How, you might ask? Well, we need to give up going our own way, give up doing our own things, give up living our life, essentially. There's a cost associated with that. We must give up some of the things that we love in life. And maybe we can relate to this to Morven this morning, sharing about her time in Tanzania. For Morven, these 3 months have been a snapshot in time where she has had to take a step of faith to deny some of the things that she loves in her life. The comforts like she and most of us will have and take for granted, and live for Jesus, but live all out for him, glorifying God and helping others, as we saw. She was focused on him and dead to her own self. And secondly, God sacrificed his son Jesus for us. This was the ultimate cost. Put ourselves in that position just for a moment. Just think about that. And allow the reality of that just to sink in to our minds and our hearts. God did that because he loves us and wants a relationship with us. When we accept Jesus for who he is, the Son of God, a transformation takes place in our lives. An exchange takes place. Our old life is exchanged for that of Jesus's. Jesus lives in us. That is what our life should reflect. However, we're still in a battle in this world. Let me share an example with you. Alison and I have 3 boys, as most of you will know. And we love them. And we love them all the time. Yeah. Okay. They drive us crazy sometimes. Absolute crazy with their attitude, with their behavior, with their understanding, with their actions, and with their words. I, at times, can lose my temper with them. Yep, I do. I'm happy to admit that. I lose my temper. And if you were in the room at the time, then you may or may not say, rightly so. But as we can see, as we read through this verse, it is Christ who lives in me. My reaction to the situation is one of this world, a natural reaction, but one of the flesh. It's tough, but I can make a choice and allow God to help me to make the correct response. We live in a world where, as the New Testament reminds us, the devil continues to seek to destroy us and lead us away from following God, sometimes doing a really good job of it. This will happen. The challenge is Christ in me. I've highlighted it in bold there. Christ in us. This should be my attitude. This should be my reaction to that situation with the boys. That of Christ, loving, caring, building up, edifying others, and glorifying God. This doesn't mean that it can't be a disciplinary situation, but it does mean that it should be done in a Christ-like manner. So I often find myself having to go back to the three boys and saying, you know what, boys? I'm sorry. I need to apologize and ask for forgiveness for the way in which I may have spoken or reacted in the heat of the moment, in the reality. I also have to ask forgiveness from Jesus. The same goes for my relationship with Alison or others, for that matter. The way in which I act or talk doesn't always reflect Jesus' actions or words. But it should be. Christ lives in me. As we read in the verse, the life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Just the second half of the verse there. Am I and you living by faith? If you're here this morning and you'd like to know more about what that actually means, please don't just shoot off after the service. We'd love to spend a bit of time speaking to you. If you're here on your own, speak to one of the stewards and they'll point you in the direction of somebody who would love to just sit down with you and chat about what that means, faith in Jesus. There's always other opportunities as well. There'll be some of the team down the front here at the end where you can pray with them or even just chat to one of them. Somebody gave me a quote this week from Tim Keller that said this: we must go back again and again to the gospel of Christ, crucified, so that our hearts are more deeply gripped by the reality of what he did and who we are in him. In preparing for today, I came across another great challenge, and it went like this. How many of us here this morning woke up and said, I need your help, Lord, today, please? I need you to save me. I didn't. Well, actually, I did. But I only did because I had been challenged by that through preparing for this morning. What a great picture and reminder for us that Jesus is in us. As we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, well, most of us will know this well. We live by faith and not by sight. We don't live by religion, adhering to the Old Testament laws. We live by faith in Jesus. It's an exchange of lives, his for mine. He gave up his life on the cross and took all of the mess of my life and yours on himself as he died on the cross, so that we might live after the physical death that will come in this world. And so as we come to take communion this morning, collectively together, let's remember that the cost paid for by Jesus dying for the mess in our lives. I have been crucified with Christ. I live by faith in and through Jesus. Do I? Do you? Is that a reality for us this morning?
Thanks, Greg. All that could be accused of me before the living God. From the first time I lied, to every act of injustice, to every angry lash out of the Creator of the universe, every sin imaginable that an accuser could bring before God Jesus at his right hand would say, no, I paid for that. This is my adopted son, perfect, spotless, pure, holy, mine. In the cross of Christ, all that made me an enemy of God was poured out on him, absorbed completely by him, so that I am no longer under wrath, but under mercy. So I've come here tonight to celebrate my own funeral. I've come to just sit in my own death. I've come in to sing and to celebrate that I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me, and the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and delivered himself up for me. So that's what I want to celebrate tonight, that I no longer live, but Christ lives in me, and that cross was my death too.
We're going to move into a time of communion, and I just want to read a few verses as the stewards come down and prepare for communion. Just read a few verses. But can I just say that if you are here this morning and you don't know what it means to be crucified with Christ, then we'd ask you just to observe what goes on as the bread and wine gets handed round each of us this morning. But if you have taken that step of faith and asked Jesus into your heart, then you're welcome to take communion with us this morning. Let's read just a couple of verses from Luke chapter 22. It says this. We don't need to look it up. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer, for I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among you, for I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took the bread, gave thanks and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. But the hand of him who is going to betray me is with mine on this table. Have we been crucified with Christ this morning? May we remember that he has paid the cost for us by dying on the cross, a cross that is now empty. Let's pray for the bread and wine before we take communion together. Lord, we want to thank you that you sent Jesus, your son, to the cross to die for us. But Lord, we thank you that that cross is not filled anymore, that he has been raised to life, and that through him we too can have new life if we put our trust and faith and hope in him. So, Lord, as we come to remember the great cost that you have paid for us this morning through sending Jesus, we want to simply say thank you. Thank you for sending him. Thank you for saving us. As we take the bread, we recognize that it was Jesus' body broken for us. And as we take the wine in remembrance of his blood shed for us, we simply and humbly say thank you, Jesus, in your precious name.